doing that, you might have a shock when you get to heaven, because that's what we're all going to be doing there. Jesus said, pray that will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, what's happening up there? Well, we see it in the book. Everything in heaven's giving glory to God. And he wants us to be doing that here. And that's partaking, you know, of his kingdom here. Before I get into my message, I have a friend here visiting with us, Brother Davenel Lavissier. Is that how you would say it? It would be a French. There's R's in that, but we don't hear the R's. Lavissier, right? And I've met Brother Davenel 3 years ago. Spent some time fellowshipping. And then I visited him 2 years ago at his place in Haiti. What exactly is the area? Is it Carrefour or is it? Carrefour. Is the R silent? Carrefour. Carrefour. Amen. But Haiti was colonized at one point by the French. There's a lot of the French, but there's a mix of everything there, just like here. And Davenel has a heart for God, has vision for God, and has been involved in various things, has worked with some various NGOs down there, which is like humanitarian type of thing. So, Dav, just come and my name, share a few minutes, testimony or whatever be on your heart. And there it is, the green light.
Hi. Thank you, Lord. Good morning, church. So, as Pastor Bill already introduced me, so I'm from Haiti, the island, and our official language is French, but our mother language is Creole. So anyways, so many people go to school to learn English. But thank God I was a self-educate in English. So it's a gift from God that you can see that I can express myself as well. But anyway, maybe some words might not be, you know, well pronounced anyways, that you would understand anyways. I'm so happy to be here today because everywhere you go, you're Christian. If you are in church of God, it seems like you're home. So, yes, I feel that I'm home. Thank you, Pastor Bill, for inviting me to come here and worship with the people of God, nice people. Thank you for being part of this kingdom. And I have a few words. Maybe I'm going to try to explain or to share a testimony with you today. Life sometimes not really, when you say you're Christian, it's not easy to be a Christian. It's a fight. For myself, when I first met God, when I was born again, it was not easy for me to endure such kind of difficulties in my life. Because I remember that my wife and I, it was kind of, she wanted to separate. There was a time, and she said to me, I can't be no longer with you anymore. So I remember that I was, it's like 9 years ago, and she left, and I lost my job. And I lost my friends, and I lost everything. It's kind of, I bear a cross on my back where everything has been left behind. I didn't know what to do, but fortunately, there was things that I asked a friend of mine if he can give me a Bible. This is the day that I was trying to see what's going on inside. So many people said in the Bible there's so many miracles happen. But I would like to have a kind of miracles happen for me because at that time, I was about to die. Can you imagine? I had a son. He was 2 years old. And it was my first time enjoying family because life before wasn't good because I was part of, like, you know, bad time, bad friends, you know, bad company anyways. So when I was trying to enjoy life with family, I can feel inside enjoying my son. He looks like me, kind of, you know, it's like the same. We're like a twin. So when I was about to see that my wife is living with him, and she said she'll move with, I didn't know what to do. So that time I had a cousin of mine, he lived far away from my place. It's over the mountain. So I said, only one place I would feel better, it could be in the mountain. There will be no one to see, no one to talk, and because I feel like weak. But I was not able to see anyone in front of me because I feel kind of desperate. And I took time to get to see my friend over the mountain. And I spent, I trying to walk away, find out somewhere there's nobody. And I walked like 4 hours on feet. So everywhere I go, like miles away, on 1 mile, I see some people there. I said, no, I don't want to stay here because I was not able to see, to be with people until I get to the top. And I lay down on the grass and trying to find something. And something I was about to, I wanted to find, it was God. There, he was teaching me a lot of things in the Bible, all my mistakes. I thought that my wife was the only one that she was, you know, responsible for this separation. I was wrong. She wants to leave. Maybe she wants to leave for another man. Yes, it is. It was that. But I was wrong too. Because I didn't know God. When I was reading in the Bible about forgiveness, acceptance, or tolerance, I wasn't tolerant. But I didn't have forgiveness in my heart. Because for me, everything she did, she was wrong. It's only one thing. She's wrong. But I never right. I'm always right. But maybe I was right. But for what I read in the Bible, we were both wrong. It wasn't wrong. A couple years ago, I was praying. Like, after that, I was praying. Maybe I was expecting that God would send my wife back. That was my expectations. Year passed, 2 years, 3 years. She never get back. And then I said, but I'm done. I'm not going to pray for my wife to come back home because it's done. Fortunately, I found some friends, good friend this time. It was a church friend. So when I start worshiping with them, they know my story. They know my testimony. I was jobless for 2 years, and I had so many debts because everything that I had was kind of, you know, it's loan. I had a little restaurant. Unfortunately, I was not able to pay the debts, whatever, the loans, the government. No, something. I was able to sell it. I set it out. I sold it out, and then to pay debts. Finally, you know, no job, nothing. Sometimes I stay home like 2-3 days without eating. No one brings some food over. It was about 3 days drinking water. And I remember that the one thing that the last time it was twice a month I eat good food. But it was about only bread. But I understood this time that God wants to clean me inside. Just because so many things happened in my life, impurity, whatever. So for the temple of God to be a good thing, that God could be to become and live, it should be clean. Sometimes even food you eat is not good food. That's me. So anything that you have done in your life in the past, staying inside is not good for you, but it needs to be clean. Sometimes you say, oh, God, you're killing me because no food, nothing. Somebody said to me, if I accept to live for you, that Bible said I'll be free, I'll be rich. But so far, I can't even eat. What's going on? But the one thing I realized that God has had a promise for me, and he want me to be his son, but I need to endure such kind of so many things in life because there will be more struggles, more trials in the future. So after 2 years, I joined a church. So I met so many good people there. They find me a place to stay because I was not able to pay the rent of the house. It was so difficult for me. And 4 years after, and I found a job. It was a good one. It was an NGO. Now it's time for harvest, good harvest. Because I endured like 3 years, you know, in the desert. It was not easy for me. And after that, I found some good friends. And then I was in Bible school, and I trying to stay in God's plan. It was good to be in God's plans. That's what I wanted. But God still, the Bible said in God's plans, the hand's going to be good. The one thing I know I'm going to be in heaven because I accept God as my Savior. It is. But living on earth is not easy. But to go through the plan of God and to get through it, you know, it's not easy. If I knew it would be like that, I would say, no, God, I don't want to be there. Because divorce, you know, I had to deal with so many other difficult things in my life that I was not expected to leave. It was not easy for me. Finally, when I found a good friend and found a good job, other difficulties faced. And now my wife called me, said, you have to pay, you know, the tuition for the kids. Now you work. It was bad. You remember that she left and I lost my job. I had nothing. Once she knows that, you know, I have a good job, she's trying to win all the stuff that I need to take care of my son. Thank God, that's what I would like to do before. Because why I didn't do it, because I lost my job. But all my life was about to live with my family. And it was a good pleasure when she said that, because I was about to see my son again. He can't be with me, so. And she took me to court, whatever. I think it happened to us anyway. So finally, and 5 years ago, and I found someone in my life. It was a Christian girl. She was a good person. She taught me many things about God and stuff, because she knew my whole life. So we spent 2 years together. We were about to get married, but she said there was a time while that was my son's birthday. I mean, remember it was in 2011. My wife was invited to come to my place with my son, but to participate at my son's birthday because I organized something for him. At that time, and my girlfriend sees that my son was very happy, but he was also with his mom, and he loves his mom too. Over the night, she starts crying, and she said, I don't want to stay with you anymore. I can see through your wife's eyes, she still loves you. She misses you. I said, I don't think so. Because it's been 6 years, and she already have somebody else, but she loves him. He said, whatever, I don't know what to say, but I don't want to stay with you anymore. I said, why you say that? We're about to get married. He said, Daniel, I love you, but I love God more than I love you. This is one thing every woman and man should know. Love God more than your husband. Love God more than your wife. Because if you say you love God more and God is above all, the word of God is more than your wife and your husband. And the word of God will be able to help you to live a good life, you know, through your Christian's life. So, and then when she said that, we start crying together. But unfortunately, well, I was not about to accept that, to, you know, to have another life with my wife, because it's too much for me. And 2 months after, I said, no, it's too much for me. I have a good friend. I need to call him first, and I need to send him a mail to know exactly if it's will, because, you know, when one or two confirm something is will, I went down to a good friend of mine, Pastor Bill. Pastor Bill, I'm into trouble, man. I don't know what to do. I know the word of God, but sometimes now I feel that God doesn't say anything in my situation because it's too much for me, because I have no answer from God, because what's happened, blah, this is what. Pastor Bill said, what is in your heart? Did you already get through with your wife again, or you just return and have another relationship? I said, not yet, Pastor Bill, but sometime, you know, I don't know what to do. But now I understand sometime God, he never give you any answer for your problems, for your questions, because he knows you're mature enough to know what to do sometime. Sometimes God lets you act your way because he know you were a good student. Now it's about you to take your good decision. This is a test. And that test, I was kind of don't know what to do. It was a good task. It was difficult. And I said, no, Pastor Bill's answers was not, you know, enough for me. I went to see other pastor. Just that pastor that I knew, they know my situation. They know everything that my wife has done to me. You know, she quit. She went with everything I got. I lost my job, blah, blah. And then the other pastor said the same thing. God's word said, God doesn't like divorce. He hates that. If your wife were to come back, you have no choice. I said, I have no choice. I have a choice. She left. And then for another man, he said, Daniel, go ahead. And another month passed, and she came to me. Now, I was asking for people, but this time my wife came to me. She asked for apologize. She just said, I want you to forgive me because I was wrong. I want to have another life with you. I said, no way. No way. And the worst, she already got a baby for the man. Yeah. There was another baby, you know, outside the marriage. That's the worst, and I was not able to deal with. Family said no. Friends said no. Some pastors said no. some good people at church say no, but God say yes. It was hard for me. It was not easy until I realized that I have no choice. I said, okay, give me like 3 months. Okay, I need to think it over, take it off. I called Pastor Bill again. Pastor, this is what happened. What I have to do? Now she's back to me and she asked for forgiveness, whatever. What do you think I can do? Pastor Bill was so good to me. Sometimes I don't want to tell him what's going on because it's going straight. You know, sometimes in life you wonder that if you find someone, you want to hear what you want to hear. So sometimes if somebody tells you some things, you want him to tell you what you want to hear. But Pastor Bill never tells you what you want to hear. He tells you what God said. Sometimes what God says is not easy, but it's gospel. You know, the scriptures, you have no way to go. Only person you can go out of, it's you, but the only person you can go out of, it's the Holy Ghost. Because it's your conscience, the voice of your spirit, of the spirit, your conscience. So anyways, I love God. I endure many things, many trials, and God loves me. I said anyways, instead of listening to that man, it's better that I listen to God. Okay, I said, baby, we're going to have another choice, another chance. Let's try again. We did try. We returned. So she haven't repented at the beginning. It was worse than before. I keep praying. And now she becomes so obedient. She was a rebellion. She was rebuilt. She rebuilt to my, you know, to my authority like a man. No, it's not like a slave. But actually, I think she's a good person. She loves God. And I just trying to be with the other baby. That's my other baby. And so now we have another baby. She gets birth. That's now my new baby is 15 months, actually. The family loves me so much. And moms live with me now. I have two other girls, like 122, no dad. Mom is not really good at that. I think it's very difficult at home because I said, stay with me. I'm going to help until that, you know, things goes better. And my two kids and the other kids, now we are a good family of 8 people in the house. And God rejoice. God stopped. He started to open door that I was never expected. Because I have lost my job, but I have a good job. Many times they're trying to fire me out from this job. like 2 years ago, they want to fire me out. I'm still in. I don't know how. Because I have a family to take care of. God said, I have a vision for you, but I have provision for you too. I provide to your vision. And I open all the other doors. But from now, it's time for my ministry to start. That's why he told me. And may God bless you. But I think I have so many other testimonies, but I don't have to be too long because I know the pastor maybe want to tell you some more. And maybe, I don't know what time service should be in. I want to leave you with a verse. Very important. Because that's kind of verse I live for in my life for many, many years. Because the trials are not easy to live a Christian's life. Nah, can't tell. Persecution and everything. It's on Luke 12. I'm not going to preach, but I'm just going to just read it only there. It's Luke 12, verse 47. Let me read it for you just. Luke 12, verse 47 said, and that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself to do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more. So God has given me more because I know his words. I know the scriptures. And I will be beating as much because God knows I don't have to go there. I have to go that way. God knows, you know, I have to forgive. If you don't forgive, I won't forgive you. I will be beaten so many times and, you know, it's going to be hard. God sometimes, when he wants to correct his sons, he do it hardly because he loves you. Thank you.
To reconcile and restore, every relationship. And it can look impossible at times, but God can touch people's hearts and bring change. I don't know if you caught at the very beginning when you were sharing, but I remember you telling me that you accepted Jesus, and that was why she wanted to leave, because she didn't want the Christian life. So I don't know if you caught that when he was saying that. You know, sometimes you make a choice for God, and there can be consequences on by way of other people's choices, but there's nothing greater than have eternal life. Christ is your Savior. So God can restore. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to share a word with you on hope and disappointment. Hope and disappointment. I want to read two verses to begin. First is Proverbs 13:12. Proverbs 13:12. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. And I want to read Romans 5:5 from the New King James. I have to get on my iPad to do that. Okay. Romans 5:5 says, hope maketh not ashamed. Oops, I need to switch to New King James. There it is. iPads are awesome. Romans 5:5 from the New King James Version says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Hope does not disappoint. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Or deferred would be like if something's off its track, like a train off the track, it's crash. Car off the road and it's still moving, crash. Hope that's off the track makes the heart sick. Or in other words, disappointment, discouragement, possibly depression. And that all comes back to hope being lost. Hope. Now in Romans 5:5 says that the hope that God would give will not disappoint you. And we'll get into that more. But I do want to just say a few things about disappointment first. This has been stirring around in my heart for a little while now to share this word. Disappointment is when something you're looking for or expecting or looking forward to doesn't happen. Or it's off the track. It's not going to happen even. And all of us experience disappointment in life. You look forward to things. Some things happen. When it happens, it's a tree of life. It's sweet to the soul. But there are many things you're looking forward to in your mind, and it does not happen. Sometimes it's because of you. Sometimes it's because of someone else's sin. It could be circumstantial. But when we do not partake of or receive or attain to that which we are looking forward to, disappointment comes. Now, one of the things that's it's kind of sad is when you're working with or observing children, and children get excited very easily in looking forward to something. I mean, they can get really excited. Really excited. It was a week or so ago, we took our granddaughters to pick blueberries, sort of making that an annual grandparent-granddaughter thing. And my wife picked them up, and I was here, and she came here to pick me up. And those little girls about half knocked me down, running to jump into my arms. I can take one at a time. It's a little hard to take two at a time. Because they were so excited to go pick blueberries. Now, fortunately, it did not rain. You'd think we were in the tropics here this summer. It is raining all the time. But it didn't rain when we were able to do it. But there's times with children, you might say, okay, I'm going to take you here. We're going to do this or that. And something makes it that it's not possible. Maybe it's weather. Maybe it's something came up you have to attend to. And the disappointment comes on the child when you have to tell them, we can't do this today. It's raining. We can't do this today because of this, or something came up I must take care of. It's important. It has to do with helping a person. And you see their face drop and their countenance because they were looking forward to this. Now, the reason I begin illustrating with small children, y'all were one of them at one time, okay? And disappointments are common to life. And it breaks your heart when you see someone you love disappointed. However, the child will need to learn you have to deal with it. Just like fair. Life's not fair. You're going to have to deal with letting go of wanting everything to be fair. There are certain belief systems people have. I won't use the names because they tend to be ascribed to people with certain political persuasions. But everything has to be fair. That's not reality. For us as Christians, we need to have the attitude, whatever, however we want to say it. I hate to use the deck of cards thing, but the hand dealt to you or what you have to deal with it, deal with it. Through Christ, we have the grace to be overcomers in it. We should not say, it's not fair, it's not fair. I wish I didn't have to deal with this. This isn't right. Look with somebody else. Everyone has challenges. And the sooner we just accept that and say, I'm going to face it with the grace of God and be more than a conqueror and give glory to God. We need the mind of an overcomer. That's something I've been sharing on recent weeks. Now, what I want to hit on here, though, today is this with disappointment. Because disappointments come in life. And if we do not overcome the disappointments, we'll be overcome by it. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And what can happen to people? They may have dreamed of certain things. God put it in us to dream. That's part of the soul, the imagination, to imagine a thing into the future. And again, you look at young children. You look at the 5-year-old, and they're imagining a little girl has a doll, and that's her baby, and she's the mommy. A little boy has, all he needs is a rock, a stick, and he's a conqueror. You don't have to teach that stuff. That comes natural. But to begin to imagine. And I remember as a boy imagining to do all kinds of things. Imagining, I'll tell this because you might not have heard it before, but imagining to be a fireman and taking a piece of rope from a second story porch and climbing over and swinging down, pretending I'm a fireman and swing right into this big old rose bush. With jaggers, which then I lost my grip, onto the concrete pavement. I wanted to be a fireman, at least for a little while. I was imagining. About 5 years old, got a hold of a big old crayon, drew ladders on the walls in the house. I felt that one for a while. But I wanted to be a fireman. And I wanted to be a race car driver, riding like a tricycle down over a hill and crash. And all kinds of things I would imagine and imagine. And you cannot crush that in a child. You'll destroy something in them. You have to be able to dream. And as a teenager, I lost the ability to dream. If you can't dream, there's only one other thing you're going to do is live to please your flesh right now. The dream of God brings the discipline to your life, and it's the motivation to move forward. You must have a dream. You might dream of a family, dream of producing something, accomplishing something, dream of certain relationships. We begin to dream of these things at a very young age. And the disappointments that come can begin to do something in someone that they're afraid to dream anymore because in their mind they cannot take feeling let down. They cannot take being disappointed again, and they don't really even try. They're afraid to dream. It's possible some of you could be in that position even now where you have fears to dream because what if it doesn't happen? What if something doesn't happen? And you see, that's where we need to have faith in God to bring those things to pass. Because the dreams, now we can dream carnal dreams, and God's not behind that. But when you begin to dream the dreams of God, you can trust that He's behind that. You'll have the grace, whether it's to walk through the rough waves, grace can be there. And I'm just going to work on Brother Davenell's testimony. Dreamt for restoration for a while, and then it seemed hopeless. But the Lord moved. And you pick up, sometimes there's a broken dream. You pick it up again with faith in God. And that doesn't mean everything's going to be easy. But as per his testimony, there's a restoration of a family. And then beginning to move forward into to dreaming the things God has. In your case, for Haiti, in your area. Our case here, there, wherever all we're involved in this life. To be unable to dream anymore, having been overcome by disappointment, it just wipes you out. Depression really is where it goes. And sometimes we can be carrying around the weight of disappointment and we don't realize it because it becomes the new normal for us. And I think there's a couple different areas to this. One is the dream relative to what you would like to see with your life and what you would want to see in God. And I don't have time to get into all of the scriptures, but I'll make reference to it. The children of Israel, when they were brought back, there was a word from God that they would come back from captivity after 70 years and that temple would be rebuilt. And some who were young saw the first temple and they were waiting for that day. And here 70 years later, the king of Persia, Cyrus, who was mentioned by the prophet Isaiah by name 120 years before it happened, said, go. And he actually gave them the materials to build. They go back. They begin to build. They have this hope. We are going to see the temple in its glory again. And this is Ezra chapter 3. And they begin to rebuild. But the old men, which if they were 10 years old when they saw it the first time, they were now 80. So these are people in their 80s and 90s. They remember that first temple. And they see what's beginning to be built, and it does not meet their expectation. They can see just by the foundation, this is nothing like Solomon's temple. It's not even going to hold a candle to that. And this disappointment came, and that turned to discouragement. And with the discouragement, they stopped building because there were threats and intimidations along with it. There was the disappointment from within, and then there was the pressure from the outside. The devil will try and hit you both ways. Disappointment within, and whatever he could use people to do on the outside. And they stopped the work. But God brought two prophets, Haggai and Zechariah, in chapter 5. They began to prophesy. They began to speak the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord brought hope back to them. That they began to say, this can happen. This can be according to the word of the Lord. If you've had any disappointments and there was something you felt it was God's will, his plan, his purpose, go back to the word of the Lord in your life and lay hold of that. Because that prophetic word and the scripture that would pertain to you, that doesn't cease with time. It's not overcome by circumstance or people. It's still there. And in Zechariah chapter 4, he said, speak grace to the mountain. And that's where Jesus derived when he said, speak to the mountain, it shall move. He's talking about the mountain, the obstacle. He's not talking about the Rocky Mountains or the little Pennsylvania mountains or little hill. He's talking about that which is the obstacle between you and the plan of God. Speak the word of faith to that, and it's got to move. You know, the mountain in front of Jesus was the Pharisee opposition. That's why he cursed that fig tree, because that represented them. So we have to speak our faith, but the hope needs to rise first. Are you willing to dream? You know, as you live life longer, there's times you might get knocked over by some waves. I mean, now summertime, people go to the beach. If you're standing there, not paying attention, you might get whacked and go under. Then you learn to face the waves. You pay attention. You have to be paying attention in life. You can get whacked by a wave. Even if you are paying attention, it might be a big one whack you. But we need to understand grace lifts us up. Just as you would rise up out of that water, grace will lift you up. Like it lifted Joseph up out of as a slave, when he sold into slavery, and then out of prison, grace lifted him up. The grace of God can lift you up. Therefore, you do not have to be afraid to fail, fall down, get knocked down, or anything else, because God's grace is there, his ability, his power in your life to lift you up above that which is going on and see his purposes come to pass. Now, sometimes for some people, the disappointment goes so deep. So deep. The pain can be so deep. You know, if you marry someone, and in your mind, you're going to live happily ever after and love and so forth, and that's broken, the wound can be deep. But God is greater. Sometimes people envision something for their family, their children. Maybe they rebel and go off, and you have great disappointment. Many times, disappointments are relative to someone not keeping their word. Broken promises. Learn to think before you make a promise, especially to children, because they will remember. You said, we're going to the park. Grandpa, you said, we're going to the park. Doesn't matter if it's raining, we're going to the park, right, Grandpa? You have to keep your word. Many people grow up, promises were broken. You begin to fear trusting anyone. You don't want the pain of being disappointed over and over. But there's a hope that does not disappoint. It's our hope in God. You see, to overcome this thing where we begin to fear being disappointed, so I won't try. I mean, you see that in youth, teenagers, many times come to that place. Well, what's the use? I'll just get drunk or get high or whatever. Because they don't have hope before them anymore. And what we need to learn to do is dream the dreams of God, find our hope in Him. It's so heartbreaking to me to see people where they're building their life towards something and it just gets the pulled out from under and to pain people. And sometimes we bring it on ourselves. And sometimes you had nothing to do with what happened. But God's behind this hope. We can't be afraid to dream again. I need to make a reference to Peter. You know, a child wants to please their parent. Someone can be 50 years old and still never really feel they pleased their parent. It's wicked when parents manipulate children by withholding praise and affirmation. That's wickedness. You're damaging your child's soul if you do that. Repent. If any of you do that, repent. Some of you had that done to you, I'm sure. The child feels, I can't please, and are afraid of making mistakes, I won't please. And daddy will be mad at me, or mommy will be mad at me. Peter swore he would be loyal to Jesus no matter what. Jesus said, that rooster's going to crow three times, and you have denied me three times. And it happened. And Peter wept bitterly. He was disappointed in himself because he knew he let God down. He let his word down to God. And sometimes there's a realm where you're disappointed in yourself so much, you think, why should I even bother? But God, his grace, his mercy is bigger than all the sins of all the world all put together. His heart is so big. His love so big to you. He can see beyond your failures. Don't allow your disappointed in yourself to keep you down. Receive your forgiveness. Humble yourself before the Lord. And sometimes, though, you know, we want to do something that's not within us to do. Peter said, I won't leave you, but he didn't have the Holy Ghost in him yet. He was not in a position to be able to keep those words. But later on, when he was filled with the Holy Ghost, he stayed true to the Lord, even though they crucified him upside down. See, he had the power of God working in his life. That was important to him. I'm going to die like my master died. Well, coming back to Romans 5, the solution really is back here. I'll look at the New King James. Hope does not disappoint. Now let's go back to Romans 5:1. It says, having been justified by faith, we are made right with God by our faith in what he did, not by our works. We now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's not against us. There's no problem between us and God. Our sins are forgiven. Through whom, through Jesus, we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. The word grace can have two different meanings, favor, or it can talk about the influence or operation of the power of God in your life. We have access into this grace in which we stand. We have access to all that we need from the Lord. We stand and rejoice in a hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in a hope, our hope that will not disappoint. God loves you. He'll never reject you. He may not be pleased with everything we do, but his love for you is unstoppable. So therefore, the fear of failure is eliminated. Everything's part of your education now. There's no failure as long as you keep moving forward. It's part of your education. Sometimes our education's expensive. You think college is expensive for one of your kids. Sometimes the education we have in the Lord could be expensive. And by that, I mean you do something and it's going to cost you. You know, it's maybe you were foolish and wrecked your car or something like that. That costs you. What do we learn from that? Don't be a fool. And I like to learn the easy way and the cheap way, and that is I'll watch your mistakes, make sure I don't make the same ones. But we have these things revealed to us in the Bible with children of Israel and throughout where we can have the wisdom of God, say, don't do that. But even better than that is, what should I do? Because you can't live your life in the do-not world, always trying to not do the wrong thing. You do the right thing, you won't do the wrong thing. Well, there's a hope for us. One is that we are born of God. Our destiny is heaven. We are his children in covenant with him. He loves you. That can't change. You can't mess that up. You can't do enough to make him not love you. Now, sometimes people will liken that to a mother, mother's love. But I think a mother could end up not liking her kid. But what's interesting how men in prison, many of them, I've heard statistics to this, they still love their mom because they feel their mom still loved them the whole way through. Dad, maybe, maybe not. Maybe he was the disciplinarian and there was a conflict. But a lot of times people, they still believe her mom loves them. Not sure about dad, but they know they think mama loves them. And there's a thing for you ladies that I can only speak of, but not with full revelation. And that is, you carried that child. You birthed that child. There's something inherent in all that for women that, for as a man, I just observe, say, okay, there's something there relative to that. You ladies would know what it is in terms of how that affects you emotionally. You carried that life. Well, we proceeded from God. We're born of His Spirit. He can't quit on us. He says, I'll never leave or forsake you. I'm not quitting on you. Yeah, but I've gone through the third grade 5 times here. I'm not quitting on you. There is no failure. He still loves you. So our hope is in this relationship. People put hopes in human relationships. The man who will be Mr. Wonderful, Mr. Perfect. It was funny, there was a pull out, a doll thing of a man to pull the string, and he says everything the woman wants to hear. Did you buy one of them? We just hear about that. Huh? There's a little one. Well, we know it was a joke, but it would, you pull the string and say, gee, honey, I'd love to go shopping right now, miss a football game. Shh. Gee. You see, sometimes we get these ideas, these expectations, maybe are not even reasonable on other people. We want them to be a certain way, and we're disappointed by our own construction of wrong expectations. You know what God's expecting of you? Loving. Jesus said, this sums it all up. Loving with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. You can do that. We gave our praises to the Lord today. It seems so feeble to us in light of the Almighty God we're standing before, but that makes Him happy. That's what He wants. When we have time with our granddaughters every week, and the highlight of that time for me is when I walk in the door, and they run into my arms, whether I'm ready or not. Ready or not, here we come. Grandpa, 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 grandpa. And I could spend an hour correcting them, picking on each other, whatever, kids are. Grandpa, grandpa, it's worth it all. Your Heavenly Father is blessed that you just come to Him. Father, 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 Father. As crude or simple as it might be. The presentation of your life. It's not about perfection. He loves you. That's unbreakable. He wants your heart toward Him. It's that simple. He will not reject you. So the disappointments come in our life where, maybe a parent was disappointed or you were disappointed, someone didn't keep their word. But God always keeps His word. He always keeps His word. And the thing He promises to give us will never disappoint us. His presence, the relationship. He'll always be faithful to you in that, even if you're not. I'm saying this in light of what is it we're really looking forward to? A human relationship? Well, that's good. Certain accomplishments in life, that's good. But you have to understand everything of this world is subject to circumstance and to other people's choices. And sometimes good people even make bad choices. And when you're involved with people, you pay the price. But God, He's faithful to His promises. His view of your relationship doesn't change. You won't be disappointed in looking to him. I remember being in Serbia, this just comes to my mind, in 1993, and the war was going on, and the sanctions, and the currency was 120 million Serbian dinar to one U.S. dollar. There were 100,000 notes laying in the gutters. They weren't even worth toilet paper. The inflation was that bad. And after the meetings every night, I mean, we do street evangelism day and meetings at night, stadium, Belgrade. It was the last night, and people got saved. And there was a couple young people came, because we were Americans, I was with Swedes. They wanted to talk to us because they were learning a little bit of English. And bless this girl's heart. She's probably about a senior in high school, I would guess. She's telling me she wants to be an English teacher. Moved to America. And they didn't even have enough money for a pencil and paper. And I'm standing there listening to this girl, and I'm thinking, in the natural, that's impossible. You know, you have people where their countries are like ripped apart by war. Eastern Ukraine is in that position at this moment. Ripped apart. Everything you dreamed in the natural is gone. Or you have like the earthquake in Haiti. Was that 5 years ago? Six? 5 years ago? And you know, it's down there, it's rubble. Many a people lost family members buried in rubble. Whatever dream they had, it's gone. Or the tsunami in India, being there right after that, and his whole fishing village is wiped out. They had nothing, nothing, but what the Christians were taking them. In the natural, everything can change in a snap. You can have and not have. And all the things you work towards, like building the sandcastle on the beach, and the kid builds it too close to the water, and the next day you come back, Mommy, my sandcastle's gone. Yep, that's life. But the dreams of God, the love of God, it says in Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God. The hope that God would have is not dependent upon what any human being does. It's not dependent on circumstance. There can be war. There could be whatever, divorce. It's not dependent on anything in this world. So the way where you have a complete victory over disappointment is that your hopes are truly what his are. The world can't take it away. People will let you down. That's why the Bible says not to put your trust in man. Now, people can earn your trust to a certain degree. But sometimes maybe we can't produce what we even want to. And that breaks your heart. If I can't produce, and back my word up, that's torment. Say, please forgive me. I can't do what I said. Please forgive me. I meant to do this. I can't do it. You learn to get a little wiser and watch what words you put out if you want to be able to back them up. But there's a hope. There's a hope for us that does not disappoint. The hope for the glory of God. The hope that comes as a result of the relationship with God through Jesus Christ. He'll never let you down. So when you have a hold of that, the anchor of your soul, even when man lets you down, you still have a hold of the one who will never let you down. You still have a hope that will carry you through every storm. Sometimes the storms come. Sometimes a boat can really rock. But you still have a hold of a hope that'll carry you through it all. Never to be disappointed with him. What I've learned to do in my life, my expectation is not on people. When you're expecting of other than you give me your word, then I have a right to your word. But when your expectation's on people, disappointment's going to come continually, and you're set up for offense. To be offended towards them. But if my expectations of the Lord, and he will use people in my life to bless me, But my expectation not on them. You are positioned to be thankful and appreciative. I just expect my wife to keep her covenant. And if it's within her means to bless me and make, hint, make something, you know, some nice meal, thank you. If it's to put a piece of bread in a toaster and put butter on it, thank you. Whether it's elaborate or simple, thank you. You see, what people do is they have such expectations on people, they're always offended because someone's not doing what you're looking for them to do. But as we just look, our hope is in the Lord. He'll use people. You are now positioned. You are a thankful person toward everyone around you. Not an offended, disappointed person. And we have to understand that all of us have frailties. All of us have challenges. And sometimes people just can't do what they would even want to do. Maybe they can't. And that's part of when you enter a marriage covenant, it can't just be, I'm going to marry you for what you're going to do for me. What about when they can't? What maybe your expectations are unreasonable. So we have to be able to love and not put those expectations, but we're looking to the Lord. Because there's times, no matter who it is, you're not in a position to always put out like you would want. And sometimes the people who put out the most, they're the most bugged about it. You hear me? If you're a giving, serving person, it's going to really, it works on somebody's head that's like that. Because you don't want to feel you're letting anybody down. Some people, they don't care. It's all about me. But when you're a giver type person, you want to serve, you want to bless. It bothers you if you feel you're letting someone down. We have to have an understanding. People cannot be our source. Our hope's not in them. So we take the position. We're thankful for what other people do. We're thankful always for what God does. He is my source. He is my hope. Disappointment does not rule my life. Well, I'm going to close right on that. And it's the type of word you need to ponder, think about, look at particular any steps of action maybe you need to take. It's more of a heart thing. It's not like you're going to do something, but a heart thing. Lord, help me to understand the hope I should have in you because it's a revelation. You begin asking, help me to see this. Help me to understand this. What it really means to make you my source. You are completely my hope. Help me to understand the joy of that relationship. It won't disappoint you. I mean, you can hear someone like me say it all day long. It has to be your revelation. You know, we can just get tired of being disappointed in life. I mean, everybody faces that thought eventually. And that's when we need to take this up and say, Jesus, I know your word's true. You won't disappoint. I'll not be disappointed with you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Father, use your word to stir hope in our heart, to challenge us. Help us to evaluate and judge ourselves where we're at with this thing. And Lord, if there be any of us that are putting our hopes in this world or in man or in accomplishments, Father, help us to make the adjustment. Lord, if there be anyone who presently in this moment is dealing with disappointments about how they thought things were to go in their life. And Lord, I know there's many, maybe everyone to some degree. Father, we just give it over to you. Give it to you. Father, some of these things are beyond us. We feel helpless. We hate the helpless feeling. We just give it to you today. Lord, take that which we give to you and bring glory from it. Father, if it involves other people, bring change by the power of the Holy Ghost into the lives of the people whom we love, whom we've desired to see your glory in their life, and maybe they've made bad choices. Father, I pray for parents here who have had children make bad choices. Lord, set them free. Bring healing from the disappointments. Father, that they go no further into discouragement or depression. Father, we believe for freedom in Jesus Christ and victory in our lives together in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Be able to get that out. Amen. There is a place of freedom in all, with all things in the Lord. Amen. Oh, just a couple announcements.